Well, let's keep dancing now with our second scripture lesson from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. Another call story. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be attuned to thy spirit, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Okay. Okay. I should have known with this church we'd be doing the whole thing. Okay. So we do remember that last stanza of the roller rink classic, Hokey Pokey. You remember the last stanza? It says what? You put your whole self in, you put your whole self out. Don't worry, I will not demonstrate that one. So you're thinking, okay, why the hokey pokey now? Because our gospel lesson today is about four men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, who decided to follow Jesus, two sets of brothers who really put their whole selves in, starting with their feet. And we know what happened next. Jesus turned their lives around, ultimately reshaping the world around. Yes, that's what it's all about. But how do we get started on that journey of faith? And how do we stay on it? How do we really stay in step with the one who calls us, who calls to each of us every day, "Follow me"? As we ponder these questions about Jesus' call to the disciples and to us, I will focus on the response side of the equation today. For I see two important moves that the fishermen made that we also must choose to make if we want to follow Jesus. This is not the first call story in our Bible, and not by a long shot. We see these moves in the first call recorded in our Bible, God's call to Abraham in Genesis 12. That's the Old Testament lesson you just heard Larry read. And we find these same moves again 1900 years later at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus taking a page from God's book. Jesus staying in step with the ongoing dance of divine revelation. Okay, so what are these moves? The first move is the way that Jesus calls, recruits, invites. I guess he doesn't want to hear this lesson today. We'll have this one for you later. The first move is the way Jesus calls, recruits, invites, cajoles, by giving the potential disciples the big plan, but withholding any real specific details. I call it the, okay, but what's for lunch aspect of the way God works with us and through us. When these guys took the bait, pardon the expression, and went off with Jesus, they must have had a sense that they were moving in the right direction. They took a leap toward a relationship and a new life that they could not resist. But I'm sure their minds and guts were swirling with questions and doubts, misgivings and fear. You know, what exactly have we got ourselves into? And what do we do next? When God called Abram, which was his original name, our scriptures tell us that God called Abraham into his lead role in God's plan with a striking lack of detail. All settled in Haran with wife Sarah and nephew Lot, God said basically, "Go, and then I will show." Big call, big promises with shocking lack of detail. He says, "I will show you the land. I will bless all families through." And we are told simply, "So Abram went." But there was so very much Abram and those fishermen by the Sea of Galilee didn't know, couldn't know. Yes, when God calls us into action, when God invites us to dance, it can be very scary. How do we know, though, when we get a crazy idea, whether it is coming from God or somewhere else? If you get an impulse to do something that seems right and good, an act of compassion or justice in some measure, but then your heart starts pounding and your palms get a little sweaty, that's a good chance that it's the voice of God you're hearing. As the theologian and preacher Barbara Brown Taylor has written, if you really want to follow Jesus, do something that scares you every day. Going without knowing takes faith, bucket loads of it. But all we really need, as Jesus tells us, is a mustard seed portion to get in step. Of course, if it were just up to us, we'd get the full plan before we committed, wouldn't we? No jumping ship until we really know what we're getting into. Unless it's Jesus we're trying to follow. As Eugene Peterson, Presbyterian author and translator of the Message Bible, in his book, The Jesus Way, explains, when we follow Jesus, it means we don't know exactly what it means, at least in detail. We follow him, letting him pick the roads, set the timetables, tell us what we need to know, but only when we need to know it. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," and we follow, we don't know where we will go next or what we will do next. That is why we follow the one who does know. Getting in step with Christ definitely involves stepping out in faith. There's no way around it. But there's something else we also need to look at, the second move. The second move that happened that day by the Sea of Galilee and way back in Haran. The second move is the letting go. Letting go of something, someone, or some idea in order to get in step with God's call. In Mark's story, Simon and Andrew left their nets. James and John left their boat and their father. In Genesis, Abram left Haran. But he did not leave his family behind. We're told that he took his wife, Sarah, his whole family, and his nephew's family, as well as their slaves and possessions. So even in these two stories, we see that following God's call does not necessarily call us away from our families, but we certainly see it in the parting of James and John as they grab their hats and run off to points unknown with Jesus. Perhaps now that I'm closer to Zebedee's age and perspective, I look at this story from Zebedee's eyes, watching both of his young adult sons running off on some madcap whim with this charismatic upstart prophet, leaving behind the nets that still need mending, and leaving the family business in jeopardy. James and John were not the only ones that were letting go in that story. Another word for letting go is sacrifice. It is a major theme in Jesus' teaching, life, and death on the cross, as well as the story of Abraham, who is commanded by God to sacrifice his son, his only son of Sarah, Isaac, the only son through whom God's promises were to be fulfilled. Hard stuff. And it doesn't get harder any easier with time. letting go or sacrificing our own idea, our plan, our way, life as we think it should go, when Jesus calls us to do otherwise, in my experience, it keeps being hard. It is rarely, if ever, our first thought or our first instinct in the heat of the moment. But letting go, sacrificing our need to control, is what Jesus calls us to do, to become the people and the world that Jesus came to save. My husband will verify this truth. I am kind of hard to dance with. I do love to dance, but I find it hard to follow when we're trying to do couples dancing, because it takes trust to follow, letting go and not being willing not to know, getting in rhythm with God, letting the Lord of the dance lead us a step at a time means letting God lead. For us today, I hear the second move, the second step, not only about major life decisions like today's stories, but also on a daily discernment level. For to follow Jesus day to day calls us to keep letting go of certain ideas and expectations we wake up with every morning. Getting in step with God's way calls us to decide what not to do on our to-do list. This is a hard one for me. If any of you have seen my daily planner, you know what I'm talking about. Because I am blessed and cursed with way too many ideas and plans and what I think can get done in a day. So I make lists that are impossibly long at the beginning of every day. But getting in step with God calls us to decide, okay, what are we not going to do? So we look at our to-do list, whether it's a list on a paper, a screen, or in our heads, and we have to decide, we are called to decide what to let go of in order to really follow Jesus' plan. Things that may be good, but not the most important things for that day or that time from God's view, given our limitations of time and energy. I hear this letting go part of Jesus' call rising in urgency, especially for the church today. It's so easy for us to get distracted, even with our best intentions and good projects, and get out of step, out of sync with where God really wants us to go. As Jan Edmiston, co-moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, has said, the questions any church should be asking are, one, when they're trying to make decisions or getting into any kind of issues and conversations, the first question is, did Jesus die for this? And second, to ask, what is breaking God's heart in this community? For acts of compassion, working for justice in our community and beyond, we know, take enormous energy, intelligence, and creativity. In order to step up to those questions, we have to ask ourselves, what are the things we maybe need to let go of, or do less of, or do differently to be the hands and feet of Christ in Marshfield and in the world today? I find it important that in these two call stories, these are not stories about men behaving badly who saw the light and then repented of their sins. No, this story is not essentially about sin and redemption, as important as that is. These stories are about men who were doing their duty faithfully, supporting their families, doing the work into which they were born. This letting go, this sacrifice in these stories, it was a choice to sacrifice one good thing for the better thing, the still more excellent thing that God was at that point calling them into. I believe this kind of letting go, reaching out, stepping out of our comfort zone in the name of divine love, sacrificing our comfort, our control, that's the kind that we face daily, trying to hear God's call among the many good options that we may be blessed to choose from. We are a church blessed with great energy and multiple ideas. So for us, the question is, which do we need to move forward on? Which do we need to let go of? Which do we need to double down on and go for broke in order to follow Jesus with all our might and muster? I have a story I want to end with, written by Roger Nishioka, who was my doctoral advisor, Presbyterian pastor and professor. A story that helps us to see how this getting in step on the daily discernment level can work. This is a story about a young man named Jonathan, a ninth grader, and about another teenager named Clarissa. This is how it goes. He writes, throughout the weekend retreat, Clarissa had pretty much hung around the fringes. Part of the problem was the sight. Clarissa was a paraplegic and wheelchair bound. She had a motorized chair, but not all sites around the campus were easily accessible to her. It was more difficult for her to be a part of the retreat than for others. Beyond that, Clarissa's personality was introverted, and she seemed to enjoy watching more than participating. I wasn't sure if her being in the wheelchair determined that for her, or if her nature was simply to be more shy. Throughout the weekend, young people and adults made numerous attempts to draw her in. She smiled, but would more often than not politely refuse. We had had several nice conversations, mostly around mealtimes. We all ended up asking her questions, trying to draw her out, but her responses were curt, brief, and not very revealing. The retreat ended with a dance on the last night. It was the only activity, and everyone came. Clarissa, true to form, was sitting in her wheelchair along one wall, looking quite bored. Then, to her surprise and mine, one of the young people in the group, Jonathan, a young, energetic, and somewhat immature ninth grader, jumped out from the dance floor and yelled to Clarissa, "Let's dance!" Before she could object, he rolled her onto the dance floor. Jonathan was behind her, pushing her and twirling her. I could see her face, and initially she looked terrified. In the ebb and flow of the dance floor, when people realized Jonathan and Clarissa were dancing, we made a circle around the two of them with everyone cheering and clapping. Jonathan was obviously having a great time. Clarissa was less obvious. But then, as the circle broke up and Jonathan and Clarissa continued to dance, I saw a genuine smile on her face and heard laughter from her for the first time the whole weekend. In that moment, on that dance floor, the kingdom of God was at hand. As Jonathan followed Jesus feet first, pushing Clarissa into the middle of the dance floor at just another awkward, sweaty, exciting, and scary teenage dance, before their very eyes, with their pounding hearts, it became holy ground. You and I know those moments are precious and fleeting, yet they can reshape everyone who lets that experience inside them. Friends, Jesus is forever inviting us to step further, deeper into his holy presence. Jesus is inviting us to get in step or back in step on this road that has no dead ends, this path that leads to life, not only for us, but for all creation, in this life and the next. So what about you? What about us? What might be that step for you today? And what might be that step or steps for us as a church? Our immigration task force just met last Friday to ponder next steps about how we might reach out even further to support the immigrant community that we started with the workshop not long ago. And speaking of hokey pokey and roller rinks, what about stepping out and having a second service one Sunday this spring at the roller rink in town? It kind of seems like something Jesus would do, and we kind of started talking about. The question is, how is Jesus calling us to put our whole selves in? Just imagine if we were to let go and follow.